I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like
spooky things.
But we really, really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week
for self-care? This week for self-care, the big one was kind of Delaware.
You spent a lot of time there. It's fine for it to continue.
Yeah, like we just had a lot of good beach days. It was really nice.
The vibes were on par.
Vibes were on fire. Did I already talk about the Ren Fest?
No.
Okay. I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Before we went to Delaware, we went to the Ren Fest.
And we didn't get to go together. It was very upsetting.
Yeah. Conflicting schedules and
I went for whatever. Free.
Well, rub it in.
You could have come with us and you would have gotten in free too.
Yeah, but I already told Corey and Chris that I would go with them. We always like go together. So we went and it was so fun. It was our first year bringing Ronan. So he had a very magical time.
Love that it wasn't that crowded.
I know. I was like, is this like...
is this heaven?
Real? Is this real life?
Is this heaven?
It was so wonderful. Like, not crowded. It was perfect and breezy and like... it was still warm, but it wasn't, like, sweltering, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of places to actually chill.
Yeah.
In the shade.
Totally. It was so fun.
I don't think I've ever had a Ren Fest that was that relaxing and not so stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. Got right in. No traffic. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And Ronan, like, loved the petting zoo, obviously. It was really cute.
Well, you have to go to the petting zoo.
I love the petting zoo.
Who among us?
And then we pet a unicorn, so that was pretty fun, too. It was just, like, he did so good. He did such a good job.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah. We had snacks. We had the stroller. So, like, if he was done walking, we just put him in the stroller. And then by the end of the day, he was zonked. He was out.
Yeah. I think you have to be.
Yeah. So, it was, like, a really good time.
Awesome.
What did you do?
I went to Trout Lake, finally. I get to go every 4 years because my cousin sucks and I'm not afraid to say it. Ruger got attacked by a porcupine.
What?
Yeah. He came back happy as could be. We pulled the quills out of his
face.
He's
like, look what I did, you guys.
It was crazy. We were like, oh my God.
Oh no.
We saw an otter and I was yelling, Emmett, after it because I've told you about Emmett otters. Yeah.
The Christmas thing.
I'm really glad that it made that much of an impression that you remembered and you were like, oh, fuck this shit again.
Well, I feel like now I should watch it with Ronan. Like, he'd probably like it. It's like a Muppet thing, right?
Why can't Auntie Kim also?
Yeah, you can come over. You can be like, this is my favorite thing. And he'll be like, okay.
I have the figurines. I have a shirt that says support your local jug band.
You should probably wear that.
I did, and nobody got it.
Oh.
But it was so much fun. We forgot Rex in the car. I told you the whole story of that.
Whoopsies.
Yeah, it happens.
It wasn't hot. He's a dog, not a child.
He was still fine.
He's fine.
My sister laughed because the picture of him he has is back to us.
He's like, I can't believe you guys forgot me.
Yeah, he was not happy. It was really fun. I just love bringing the dogs there and
yeah.
Tiger enjoyed himself.
Aww.
And yeah, it was
nature. Did you like do any hikes or anything or like?
Yeah, we did a hike and that's how Rex was forgotten in the car.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. What dog? Ruger and Aspen, if they're in the car, you're gonna know they're in the car.
Yeah.
Rex was just silent.
He needed some
alone
time.
And we accidentally left him for 45 minutes and then again, silent.
Whoops.
And the kids were obsessed with these things called Nitos. Okay.
What is it? Is it all the craze?
So normal of you to not know what it is. It's okay. Literally this, like, square. I'm sure people out there are like, needles, have you not heard of it? Calm down.
Is it a children's toy?
Yeah, it's like this little, like, square thing that, like, is squishy.
Okay.
It's...
That's it? Yeah. It's just squishy?
It's squishy.
Okay.
But kids are like, kids love squishy things. I have to have them!
Must squish!
Like, they were, like, making such a big deal, and I'm like, oh my god, you're gonna be fine. And they're like,
Have you squished it?
They were really fun to play with. I hate myself because I would sit on the table. Like,
this is actually kind of fun.
I was feeling stressed out. I don't remember why. And my niece placed it in my hand and I was like squishing it as I was talking. And I'm like, why do I have one of these? And she laughed and she's like, I put it in your hand. You needed it.
She's like, I could tell you were like,
I think it was because Rex, like I was so stressed out after that. Yeah. And then... Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Ruger got attacked by a porcupine. That was fun.
It might have been like warranted though. He was probably like, you wanna play?
You know what? The fact that it was only 4 quills, I support the porcupine. I'm sure Ruger's like, what's going on? Yeah. He's like, whoa.
I need to hear the porcupine side of this story.
Before you're gonna make a, yeah. We went on the paddle boat.
Like the ones that you use your feet with?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was very bad at steering it.
That How do you steer it?
Up, down. No, up, it's down. Stupid. Yeah.
That's weird.
And Keith and Steve confusing. Were like, honestly, we were so much better at it than you. And I'm like, yeah, you were, but also like... And then
and what
Keith
does that get
was
you?
Managing it. My nephew was like, Didi, you're horrid at this. And I'm like... I am doing my best. And I like yelled at him and I was like, also Uncle Keith's in charge. And he was like, no. And I'm like, okay, I'm so glad you can only believe it when it's me, but
fine.
I don't know. It was a really fun trip. It was quite a long drive, but it was for the 4th. It was so fun. And
did you guys have your own fireworks?
There were no fireworks.
Oh God.
But we went to Marianne and Dick's house.
I love that. Like, can we just fuck off on the fireworks? Everyone's dog gets so upset. And also, like, after, like, 10, why are you still doing... I'm trying to sleep, bro.
We saw a mini...
Like, not to be, like...
A cattle dog. A mini Ruger. Her name was Annie, and she's little. She was, like, 20 pounds.
Oh, my God, that's so cute.
And I thought she was a puppy. And she's like, no, this is just a mini. And then I said...
How do you get a mini?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it was so cute. And I said, Brooke... We have a full size if you want to come up, and you best believe they came up. And I felt bad because we were trying to get food.
Like best friends, Ruger and the mini?
She didn't bring Annie up, but she just wanted to see Ruger and we wanted to see Annie. And it was so freaking cute.
Aww.
And the kids there were so... One little kid was like, are you my nephew's dad? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, hi. And Steven was like,
"Have something against
hi.
Steven."
No, it was really cute. He was just like, "Oh, hi!" And he was like, "It was like some of those kids were like the cutest kids I'd ever seen." So that's it was hilarious. Fun. But I look forward to the next 4th. It better not be 4 years. I'm not afraid to say it. I hope he listens. I hope you listen.
Yeah, douche.
You suck.
Yeah, douche canoe.
My sister would be like, don't say that. And I'm like, I'll say it to his face.
I'll say it to his face.
I hope you listen. You suck.
Just kidding. We don't condone violence.
Well, the porcupine did violence. I kind of want to know his side. All right. What are you going to tell me about this week?
So I'm telling you a Colorado story.
Okay.
It's old.
Okay. Well, could you imagine?
Bye. This is the story of Joe Arity, a man from Pueblo, Colorado, with an intellectual disability who was coerced into confessing to murder. Joe was sentenced to death row, where he was known as the happiest death row inmate.
Okay.
75 years later, he was posthumously pardoned from his crime because he did not commit it.
Posthumously.
Yeah, 75 years later. So let's get into it, because they fucking knew at the time that he didn't do it.
Coerced confessions are, like, sadly really common.
Yeah. Okay, so Joe was born April 29th, 1915. He was born in Pueblo, Colorado, to Mary and Henry Arity. So he's
a Taurus?
I believe so. Love a Taurus.
Yes.
And they were Syrian immigrants.
Okay.
So Joe was the oldest of three kids, and he was nonverbal for the first 5 years of his life. He only spoke in short, simple sentences. It was determined that he had an IQ of 46, which means he had a moderate intellectual disability. So average intelligence is like 85 to 115.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's pretty low on the scale.
I mean, you saw Forrest Gump. They're like, this is your son, just like right below average.
So after attending kindergarten, the principal advised his parents to keep him at home, basically being like, yeah, he just can't learn, so why try?
And at that time, I'm sure they had no programs for that sort of thing.
No, no. In the 20s, 30s, absolutely.
It was every child left behind.
Yeah. Every single one. And so Joe didn't socialize with any of the other children in his neighborhood.
And that arguably, to me, is one of the most important parts of, like, growing up, is, like, learning
development,
to...
Development, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And if you're not in school and you're not even, like, given a chance to learn, then you're not around other kids, then, yeah, like, you're kind of isolating him.
Yeah.
He would often be seen just wandering around the town. He liked to hammer nails and make mud pies.
Sounds like a child. That's just trying to do the most.
So in 1925, his dad, Henry Arity, lost his job. And this made for some tough times. So he had to make a really hard decision to try and find, like, a caretaking place for Joe, because he just couldn't take care of him.
Yeah.
Money was low. It was, like, one more mouth to feed. You know.
And he probably had to kind of watch him, too, to make sure.
So he got Joe into a school in October of 1925. Joe was 10 at this point. He was admitted to the state home and training school for mental defectives in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Okay, so that's quite a far away.
Yeah. And I'm sure they didn't have a lot of these sorts of places at that time either.
No, I'm sure not.
Psychologists performed tests on him and concluded that he was totally unable to think abstractly without anything or about anything, and that he couldn't tell the difference between a stone versus an egg, or like wood versus glass.
Oh, wow.
Some other examples were his inability to count past five without assistance. He couldn't tell apart colors or name the weekdays.
I think the weekdays is kind of hard.
It's like memorizing, and I don't think he didn't have that capacity.
No, I'm saying that's one, like, I think that's one I struggled with. And, like, because I still have to think, I'm like, what day of the week is it? Monday, you know?
I just never know what, I'm like, what is the date and the time? Where am I?
I'm like,
is it still the same day? Like, that's why I was confused, because I was like, I taught yoga today, but I keep thinking, like, I'm like a day off, and I was like, oh, that was yesterday. And I'm like, no, that was this morning.
Yeah. Because you came back yesterday, and I was just like, okay, I guess we never record on weekdays, guys, like ever. So it's throwing us off.
It is. Okay, so then the psychologists were like, P.S., let's also test your entire family. And so once they tested their entire family, they concluded that his mother, Mary, was probably feeble-minded.
Oh, I hate that.
What kind of fucking term is that?
What does that even mean?
Probably feeble-minded.
Like, she believes in angels.
Like, shut up.
What?
And his younger brother, George, was considered a high moron. Like, what is this terminology?
What is the difference between high moron and moron?
Are there levels of moron?
Six, seven.
It's giving, like, low-level moron, mid-level moron.
If I'm going to be a moron, I'm just like, who's... If I'm going to be a moron, do I want to be high level or low level?
Right. Are we going high or low?
Yeah.
It's like I don't know.
The price is right, but I'm shitty. Just like,
who's coming up with these terms?
Like, now I'm fucking pissed off.
It doesn't sound medical. It sounds fucking rude.
It sounds It's giving opinion-based?
Opinion-based and, like, just straight
by
up
by an incel mean. Who thinks he's smarter than everyone? M'lady?
So, after all this, Henry regretted sending his son away, and he requested his full release only 10 months later. So Joe returned to Pueblo in August of 1926.
Well, you know, his wife was feeble-minded and his son was a high moron. So it's like, why not add Joe into like, this?
Just so sad.
Yeah.
Okay, so about to get sad again. More sad.
None of this has been
It's jolly. All going to be really sad.
I was okay. about to say, like, when's it going to get happy?
It doesn't get
happy. I don't think you tell us this story because it's, like, going to get happy. No.
And again, I did cry.
It's fine.
I'm crying at everything, you guys. Because things are sad and it's not fucking fair. Okay. Anyways. On September 17th, 1929... while Henry Arity, the dad, was serving a prison sentence for bootlegging, a.k.a. illegal manufacture, transportation, distribution, or sale of usually alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
So he's in jail. And at this time, 14-year-old Joe was sexually assaulted by a group of teenage boys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm not going to go into details about it just because it's kind of fucked up. I mean, it's really fucked up. But obviously it wasn't consensual.
No.
And they coerced him into doing it and they took advantage of him in a really fucked up way. And instead of Joe being viewed as a victim in this event, he was viewed as a moral danger to society. So he was sent
I am sorry. He was taken advantage of and probably kind of like fucked with him as it would anyone.
Sure.
And then he was seen as the...
like he was like... they thought he was consenting in it and therefore like he was problematic and a danger to society.
Oh my God. And he already probably doesn't have issue... like probably doesn't quite understand. Oh Jesus yes. Christ. Okay.
So he was sent back to the training school because of this. At the school, Joe was given simple chores like mopping floors or washing dishes, and he was often mistreated, beaten, and manipulated by his peers, only ever getting close with one person, and that was Mrs. Bowers. She was a kitchen worker who supervised him during his chores, and they got close because she was kind of almost like a... I want to say like a mother figure.
Okay, good.
And she was like the only person that was nice to him.
Well, I was hoping you were going to be like, she was good to him, not like yeah. they got close and she yelled at him. Like,
no, she was sweet with him.
I love that.
This
probably like, probably changed things around for him a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. So the superintendent, Dr. Jefferson, made note of Joe's suggestibility and need for constant guidance, outlining an incident in which Joe falsely took responsibility for stealing cigarettes. So remember this.
Yeah.
Appeals by Joe's family for him to be discharged were blocked by Dr. Jefferson, who claimed that their son was being kept there for safety reasons.
I'm sure he was kept there because they probably didn't pay him. And
who knows? I think they really like thought he was some kind of menace or something. And it's like he's... you guys know that his mental capacity and abilities are not there. So to treat him as if he's like a danger is like insane.
He'd probably thrive nowadays.
If, yeah, getting help that he needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So on August 8th, 1936, Joe is now 21.
Mm-hmm.
He and at least four other young men from the school left the grounds and mimicking the behavior of train hopping laborers at some of the nearby rail yards, they hopped on a train and he stowed away in freight carts and traveled through Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. So three of the boys returned to the school. They were like, I should go back, whatever. I don't know why, but they did. And on August 13th, Joe and another patient split from that group at Grand Junction train station and continued on their train rides. They were like, yeah, we're not going back. Are you fucking kidding me?
But he stayed there. He stayed at the facility.
He, No, he was gone.
Okay.
So him and this other boy were okay, like, yeah, sorry, we're not going back. We're going to keep train riding. So on the evening.
Miss Bowers.
On the evening of August 14th. So this is where the crime happens.
Oh, no.
This is August 14th, 1936.
Yeah.
Two girls from the Drain family were attacked while sleeping at their home in Pueblo, Colorado. An intruder entered the house through the unlocked front door. 15-year-old, this is so sad, Dorothy Drain was raped and attacked with a hatchet.
Oh.
She died from her injuries. Her 12-year-old sister, Barbara Drain, was bludgeoned with a bladed weapon believed to be the blunt side of the hatchet.
Oh, both are bad.
Yeah.
Both are bad.
Barbara miraculously survived after spending 2 weeks in a coma. Their parents had been out of the house that night, and their younger brother, who was in the room next door, was just sleeping while all this happened. And luckily, he was unharmed, but still, like, how horrifying.
Probably the fact that he, like, was sleeping and was probably quiet helped him.
Yeah. So, crazy shit.
Yeah.
Now, by August 18th, 5 suspects had been detained and a reward of $1,000, which in today's money is like $24,000.
Okay. So, quite a big chunk of change. A
good chunk of change.
Yeah.
Was issued for the arrest of the perpetrator. As neighbors who saw the perpetrator described him as swarthy, police
active... What does that even mean?
Like, dirty and like...
Because I know swarmy.
No, swarthy is like, I want to say like sweaty and smelly and dirty. Swarthy, and I think it can also mean like dark colored skin. Yeah.
Oh,
Dark in color, skin, olive, tan complexion. It's derogatory.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm thinking sweaty. I don't know, whatever.
Sometimes so anyways, you're sweaty. It happens.
So they're looking for an African-American person.
Of course they are.
But they also were like, well... We're trying to find a match to some fingerprints of an escaped Colorado State Hospital inmate, Joseph.
That sounds really Qualteri, specific.
Who was of Italian descent, but basically like
those Italians can't trust them.
They neither of those options panned out for
no,
them. There
no,
there was no African American suspect that was found, and there was no Italian man that was found. So. After several weeks of train hopping, Joe arrived in Cheyenne, Wyoming. On August 20th, it was about noon, he walked up to a kitchen car and he asked the workers for some food. The car's supervisors, Mr. and Mrs. Glenn Gibson, allowed Joe to stay with the crew. They gave him some clean clothes and they were like, yeah, if you want to like wash dishes and we'll feed you.
That's so nice.
So he did that for a few days. Then on August 26th, while in Archer, Wyoming, the kitchen train car was bound to head out of state. And since Joe was not like actually an employee for them, they were like, sorry, Joe, you can't come with us. Like, you got to stay. So they drove him back to the rail yard in Cheyenne. Now, Joe wandered around the rail yard for several more hours, probably trying to find another train to hop.
Yeah.
We don't really know. And at this point, he was arrested by railroad detectives George Burnett and Carl Christensen. They thought he could be one of the many army deserters from Fort Logan because he was wearing khaki-colored clothing. So they're like, you're arrested. They bring him to the jail.
That sounds also specific.
It's like, okay. And there he was questioned by Laramie County Sheriff George J. Carroll. Now, Sheriff Carroll was well aware of the widespread search for the suspects in the Drain murder case.
I knew this was going to happen. I'm still pissed off about it.
And when Joe, during his interviewing or interrogation, was like, yeah, I'm from Pueblo. He was like, oh, Pueblo, you say? And you were hopping trains throughout Colorado? So his ears perk up, and then he starts to question Joe about the Drain case. Sheriff Carroll questioned Joe about any girlfriends he had in Pueblo, asking, quote, well, Joe, you like the pretty girls, don't you? And stating, you've had several girls during your lifetime. Both of which Joe was like, yes. Because
I think, like, guys in general want to be like, yeah, I've had girls. And, like, when you're not thinking.
No, I think it's because he just wants to be agreeable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And his IQ is so low. It's like
he's not actually answering these questions legitimately. So, which I'm also kind of like, I feel like when you meet someone, you kind of can tell, right? Like, so I'm sure that this sheriff was aware that Joe wasn't functioning at a level that perhaps a normal person would be.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's fairly obvious.
Yeah.
So.
And like you said, the agreeable, like how. I feel like I'm more agreeable to people I just met. I'm just like, I'm not going to.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
not even. Gonna rock the boat, you know?
Yeah. Not yet.
But also, like the superintendent said, like Joe needed to be like constantly monitored. He needed to be like he just wasn't the sheriff. I feel like knew that he was taking advantage of this situation, in my opinion.
Well, so everything you've told me, just being like, you like girls, right? And he's
So then he continues questioning. He's like, oh, if you like to go around with the girls so much, why do you hurt them? To which Joe allegedly responded, well, I didn't mean to.
Like, he doesn't even know what he's talking
about. He's like a
about.
Child. Like,
he's like, oh, I hurt them?
Oh, I didn't mean
I
to.
Didn't, oops.
Yeah. So then Sheriff Carroll claimed that Joe fully confessed to the murder of the two little girls in Pueblo and that he had done it just for meanness. Like, these answers are ridiculous.
That's
like,
not even a thing for meanness.
For, that's something a child would say.
Yeah.
So he also made no mention of rape, which is like a pretty big part of this case.
Yeah.
And you would think there
when
might be mention
mean
of that.
What does that mean to them? Oh my God, this is like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because he probably like, how did I hurt their feelings? Like,
right.
Like,
So, and of course, the sheriff is the only person to have heard this supposed confession. So after around 90 minutes of interrogation, 90 minutes, that's like nothing.
That's not. I don't even think the interrogation starts till like after that.
So after this 90 minutes, Sheriff Carroll contacted the Pueblo police and he's like, hey, you guys, I got your guy. To which Chief J. Arthur Grady is like, hey, actually, we already have a man in custody and he's considered to be the prime suspect. And that suspect, Frank Aguilar, had worked for the father of the Drain girls and was fired shortly before the attack.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Frank Aguilar also reportedly was in possession of an axe head similar to what police believe to be the murder weapon. The axe head displayed notches that matched the wounds suffered by Dorothy Drain.
Don't piss me off. You're about to piss me off.
I'm about to piss you off.
You're
so
about
hard.
To piss me off.
When Sheriff Carroll told Joe about Frank Aguilar's arrest, like he's like, hey, Joe, guess what? Frank Aguilar did it. Joe responded with, responded that he was with a man named Frank at the Drain House. Frank Aguilar was also, he had already just confessed. Like,
was one of the train hoppers named Frank?
No. I don't know. Maybe.
And maybe he forgot the guy's name and he's like, yeah, Frank, that works.
Right. Like, he's just agreeing with everything.
Oh my God, I hate this so much.
So, Frank Aguilar, who had already confessed to the rape and murder of Dorothy Drain and the assault.
Why are you making me so mad right now? Why are you doing this?
The assault of Barbara Drain. He told the police he had never seen, met, or heard of Joe Arity.
I feel like they already had this figured out.
They've got it figured out.
Did they have a crush on Frank? Were they trying to get Frank out?
Barbara Drain recognized Frank Aguilar as someone who worked with her father and identified him as her attacker.
Oh my God.
Like, why are you involving Joe at all?
Why are you wasting your time? This is a waste of fucking time.
We got him. Why is Joe here?
In 75 years? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead.
Okay. So Joe allegedly confessed again to the murder after he was transferred to Pueblo.
I don't think he confessed to shit.
But he made several factual errors when recounting the details to officers. Duh, because he wasn't fucking there. He corrected himself with information that
he probably many just wanted to get out.
Well, many now assume had been fed to him by the police during their interviews.
There is a video in the 90s I saw of this man with a developmental disability who was on a fishing ship. Something happened and they were asking him questions. And this makes me sad. It's like what I'm thinking of. And they're like, and you took the boat to the right? He's like, yes. And they're like, what way did you take the boat? He's like, to the right. And they're like, oh my yeah. God. And it was in like the 90s or 2000s. And they're like, and you pushed him off.
Oh my God.
He's like, I didn't push him off. And they're like, no.
Like,
you pushed him off. He's
not
like,
how you
I
question
pushed
people.
Him off.
Regardless of like intellectual disability or not, you're not leading them to what you want them to say. It is like open-ended questioning so that they answer. And then you can go off of that. But like, what are...
Yeah, I was watching this and I'm just like, and you're doing this openly in front of like a camera.
Like, get it together.
And they immediately cleared the guy. And I'm like, thank God. I was like watching this like with bated breath. And I'm like, thank God. But I guarantee that's what they fucking did with him.
Of course.
Guarantee that's what they did.
Like, when he admitted to falsely... Or to stealing cigarettes. Remember at the school and they're like, did you steal the cigarettes? And he's like, yes. It's like, no, you didn't.
Like, why? Like,
stop. So anyways, obviously they're feeding him information.
And they're leading him.
It doesn't take a fucking genius to understand that. Later, the investigation proved that Joe hadn't even been in Pueblo when the crimes at the Drain home occurred.
But that doesn't matter.
A fellow runaway from the school, Ben Harvey, would later tell investigators that he and Joe had passed through Pueblo only once in the late hours of August 16th, which was 2 days after the Drain sisters' attack.
I just... How?
So, like, he's not even there in the same town when this is happening. Following Joe's arrest, Val Higgins, who was the chairman of the State Board of Control in charge of the school, launched an independent investigation into the accusation against Joe on September 1st. Although the investigation's findings were inconclusive, Higgins remained convinced of Joe's innocence and supported him as late as 1937.
And when did this happen? 1936?
When he was executed, yeah. What? Or excuse me, yeah. No, 39 was when he was executed, sorry.
Oh my God, 36
was
when this happened.
The crime was committed, yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so at trial, Joe's lawyer, Gail Ireland, tried to have Joe deemed as insane. Several state psychiatrists examined him and ruled him sane, but noted his mental limitations. They described him as having an IQ equal to that of an average 6-year-old. although medical professionals said that he was unable to distinguish between right and wrong. So it's like,
you know what though? Everything you've told me sounds like meanness. That's a that's something a 6-year-old says.
Yeah. He acted like a child because that's where he was developmentally. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying everything but like, you're saying.
He's like, it's lining up.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Which is like, you guys have the medical, like, you know this. And yet you've got your superintendent saying,
why are you trying to free
that
Frank?
He like needs to, you know, like he can be easily coerced into things, like, yeah. It's noted in his files, and here you are being like, he killed him. We have no fucking evidence, but he did it.
We have like, evidence against somebody else who also confessed.
Like, a lot of evidence. Who confessed? Why and who the victim identified, and who actually has a link? Like,
not a reason, because there's no reason.
Worked
but
for
there's
the father,
like, yeah,
and got fired, and then the next day they're attacked, like. Yeah,
oh my god, this is pissing me off.
Okay, so Joe was convicted on the basis of his false confession and was sentenced to death. Police had no evidence linking him to the crime scene, and both Barbara Drain and Frank Aguilar, the actual fucking killer rapist, testified that Joe Arity wasn't there. Like, what more do you need?
All of this would have made a little bit more sense. But the fact that a guy's like, nah, I did it. And they're like, shut your mouth. No, you didn't. And the girl's like, he's the one. And he's like, yeah, it was me. And then
she's like, I don't know that guy. And then the rapist is like, I've never met that man in my life. Like, what?
For fucking why?
Yeah, I don't know. So obviously it is completely unconstitutional, like, to impose the death penalty on anyone as intellectually disabled as Joe Arity was. Like, even if he had done it, like, that's just, no. It's a hard no. So, Joe appealed the case and eventually made it all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court. His lawyer argued passionately on his behalf.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, saying...
Wouldn't you? I'd be like, all right, this is
ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So she said, quote, believe me when I say that if he is gassed, it will take a long time for the state of Colorado to live down the disgrace.
Love that quote.
Unfortunately, she was unable to convince the Supreme Court to overturn the death sentence. According to the then warden of the Colorado Territorial Correctional Facility in Canyon City, Roy Best.
He's not the best.
Joe Arity was, quote, the happiest prisoner on death row.
Because he had no idea.
No. He was docile and a well-liked prisoner. He spent 18 months on death row, always smiling and always playing with a toy train.
Oh,
this is going to break your heart. He requested just ice cream for his final 3 meals and stepped into the gas chamber still grinning like a little boy.
He had no idea.
The St. Petersburg Times reported in January 1939 that Joe was bewildered when anyone spoke of his impending execution. While the Reading Eagle reported later the same week that he had told the warden that Joe won't die shortly before his execution. Joe Arity reportedly smiled as he was escorted to the gas chamber and was calmed during a brief moment of anxiety when Warden Roy Best held his hand. Joe was only 23 years old when he was executed on January 6, 1939, after Governor Teller Ammons refused to grant him clemency. Frank Aguilar was also convicted of rape and murder, but he was executed 2 years earlier on August 17th, 1937.
Jesus Christ, what?
So it's like, you got the guy, you executed him. Why are you still proceeding to kill this innocent
because
man.
Because they didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. Okay, here's...
God, what a horrible...
A little bit of happy... A little bit too late.
Oh, my God.
A tombstone was commissioned in 2007 for Joe Arity by his supporters and Governor Bill Ritter.
2007?
Governor Bill Ritter pardoned Arity in 2011. Quote, granting a posthumous pardon is an extraordinary remedy, but the tragic conviction of Mr. Arity and his subsequent execution on January 6, 1939 merit such relief based on the great likelihood that Mr. Arity was, in fact, innocent of the crime for which he was executed, and his severe mental disability at the time of his trial and execution. Pardoning Mr. Arity cannot undo this tragic event in Colorado history. It is in the interests of justice and simple decency, however, to restore his good name.
Wow, so that was one good governor. Fortunately, not during that time.
So
God, that's the heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking story of a man who was wrongly convicted and executed for literally no reason. Like, despite all the evidence that was for someone else.
I feel like we do a lot of things wrong, but nowadays, nothing like this would happen. As much. Because I think there would be... Because you got to look at the court of public opinion. As much as people say it doesn't mean anything, it does. And I think it...
I think if it was this exact situation and in this time now, absolutely not.
Yeah. There would be like a lot of checks and balances.
But I think there's certainly a lot of injustices
justice
system.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll post pictures of him. He just, like, he looks like this sweet baby angel. It just, like, made me so sad.
The train
just, like,
got me.
The train and the ice cream, and he's just, like, grinning. And I'm just, like, picturing a moment of him being like, oh, what's happening? Like, he's scared. And then the warden being like, it's okay. And then, like, it's just so sad.
Like, none of that needed to happen. My thing was, like, they just probably didn't want to deal with him.
Yeah, it's awful.
I'm glad they have programs and stuff today, like, to help people that are, like, if this was, like, 100 years later, he would be in such a better position. You
For
know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll post the pictures on Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod.
If you have anything you want to tell us, anything you want to send us, let us know.
Let us know.
You can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com. Also, please rate us 5 stars.
Would be great.
Because that helps us get
please
in front of people.
And thank you.
Yeah. My God. That story.
I know.
I know my facial expressions are already bad, but, like, I'm sure during that they were just
I think it's, like, kind of fun to watch our facial expressions.
Well, one of my eyes looks like it's
we're
closed.
We're both, like, very expressive. So I do think that the videos, like, add a layer, like, if you want to see what
my
we're
eyes look like
in real time, like, looking
just
like.
Just for the record, one of my eyes is not much more closed than the other. But in the videos, I look like I'm like, anyways. And I'm like, ew. And also, I look mad all the time. I'm like, relax.
It's yeah, I think okay. I've got a lot of, like, eyebrow movements. Anyways.
We don't need wrinkles. Right.
I already got the wrinkles.
Thank you so much for
until
watching
next time.
And listening.
Self-care yourself.
Self-care yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye.